Blog Talk Radio.
Timbo. Hey, Neo. Losco. Better math, your boy a good look, but she my better half. I'm already bossing, already flossing, but why had a cake if it ain't got the sweet frosting? You're keeping me on my A game, without having to say names. They may flame, but shorty we burn it up. The sag in my swag, pep in my steps. Daddy do the Gucci, mommy in the steps. Yes, it's a G thing, whenever we swing. I'ma need Coretta Scott if I'm gonna be king.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself, but baby, you make me better.
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 First things first, I just what I do. But everything I am, she's my improvement.
It cleaned up ice, the shorty come around, I clean up nice. Dynamic duo, Batman Robin, whoever don't like it, it's Batman problem. And when I feel like I'm tired, mommy be taking me higher. I'm on fire, but shorty we burn it up.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself.
Find a woman like a soldier,
holding
her down.
She treats me like a dawn, watches for the hit. Checks where I go, even watches who I'm with. The right when I'm wrong, so I never slip. Show me how to move, that's why I never trip. And baby girl, you so major, they should front page ya. God bless the parents who made ya. Middle finger anybody who hates the way we burn it up.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself, but baby, you make me better.
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 Yeah, baby, them lames you playing with, they gon' put you down. We trying to compliment you, you know? Make it better. Top notch Tim. Nice look Neo. Living good, Loso. They ask you how you doing now, tell them better than them.
I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Mommy, I'm good all by myself.
Peace and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Do Knowledge Radio, a place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Alive. We're here on our Self-Empowerment Tuesday episode, and we are extremely honored and privileged to have in our midst a heaven-sent instrument family who has dedicated more than 15 years of her life to the service of the proper shaping, cultivating, and delivery of the most precious gifts on the planet. That's right, family, our children. She comes to us in the divine and righteous name of Aisha Muhammad. our guest for this evening here on Do Knowledge Radio is none other than the Supreme Midwife herself, Aisha Muhammad. That phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments for our lovely guest. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce the seven present others, our honored guests in the building here on Do Knowledge Radio, our sister and warrior, Muslima Aisha Muhammad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor and privilege to have you. I got it off your website. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know. How are you? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Yeah. We always begin with an intro. You know, I got a whole bunch of sound effects and all that stuff. You see what I'm saying? But I wanted to get right to it. But I did got to give you like a little Philly shout out since Philly in the house. You know what I'm saying? Anybody who come off with Philly, I give them like a little small Philly intro. Let them feel welcome up in here. You know what I'm saying? So give me one second.
Philly Siegel. Philly is where I'm from.
All right. So now you know it's Philly love up in here. You know, got the Philly John right here. Got the
in
Philly
the
John. All right. Yeah, so, you know, we always begin with an intro, you know, for our listening audience. So you can take as little or as long as you need to introduce yourself and we can get started, inshallah.
I don't know what else to say because I think you said a lot.
that's just a little, you know, little snippet. They don't know, you know what I'm saying? We're about to get into it. They're going to learn today.
Well, as the brother said already, my name is Aisha Muhammad. I'm a traditional and spiritual home birth midwife. I've been a midwife for 15 years, serving Philadelphia, Delaware, New York. Basically, I would say tri-state, but it kind of extends a little further than that. I am also a mother of 10, so you may hear some of my children in the background because no matter how much I try to silence them and kind of seclude myself in a little area, they just always come around. I'm also a doula. I've been a doula for about 20 years. A doula is a professional labor coach, so I assist women when giving birth, as opposed to a midwife who actually catches the babies and delivers babies, as people know the term more often. They use that term. I also do childbirth education classes. I'm also the founder of the Natural Birth, Natural Body Conference, which we will be holding this year, our fourth annual conference. I am also a writer. I've written a few books, including Birth from the Islamic Perspective. I am the owner and founder and host of the Solutions Live broadcast, where we focus on us minding our own business, solutions about the different challenges we face as Blacks, as well as Black Muslims here in America, and even specifically here on the East Coast. I am also a poet. I've been a poet for many, many, many decades. I've been on different platforms with some of my sister friends. We had a group called the Muslima Poetesses, and we kind of did a couple different little shows and events here and there and did some spoken word, which was awesome. I'm really nervous.
You're doing fine. You just you talking to me like I was talking to you a couple of weeks ago. So we just reciprocate.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. So there's so many things. I'm always working on so many different things at one time that it's hard for me to sum up everything that I do until somebody says, oh, remember you did blah, 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 too. And I'm like, oh, yeah, so I do that, too. So I also do some website building and word process. I'm a writer. I've been a writer since I could write. So anything writing, I've written, I have some natural women's health books that I've written. I'm currently writing a book of affirmations. I'm also an herbalist. I also am an advocate for uplifting the Black family and reinforcing a strong economical warfare, or I should say development and warfare, for the Black family. There's so many, I don't know. I think after that, beyond that, you probably just got to ask me questions. I don't know, there's so many things I have my hands in. I don't feel like there's any one particular thing I can keep my hands out of if it involves saving my people, which is my passion. So a lot of people, I also have a coffee and tea business, health and wellness business. So a lot of people always ask me, well, can you do this? Can you do that? We want you to work for us. We want you to help us with this organization. We want you to work for us here at this company. And I get a lot of offers for a lot of different things, but here's the thing. People see in me, they see my talent or they see my grit and they see my determination to get things done. However, what they don't understand is the core of where it all comes from. Every single thing that I just named, every single thing that I'm involved with, every single thing that I start, that I am currently doing, and that I will finish, has something to do with me saving my people. That is my passion, me saving my people, whether it's on an economical level, health, you know, just the children, the babies, every single thing that you could think of, all of it. It's about helping and saving my people. That's my passion. So when people ask me to do things that are outside of that, they can't figure out why I have no interest in it. That's why, because it doesn't have anything to do with saving my people. If it's nonsense, if it's buffoonery, if it's, you know, a bunch of, I don't know, just mess, just ridiculousness, then madness, chaos, then I'm not going to be involved because it's not going to help save my people.
Well, see, y'all heard that, fam. Y'all heard her say, oh, I pretty much said everything. And then you realize after what she just said, I ain't said damn about, you know, what she is and what she stands for and who she is and what she do. You see what I'm saying? See all of this amazingness. Do y'all see all this awesomeness going on? See, that's beautiful. So I wanted to go back and, you know, hopefully discuss some of your spiritual journey. You know, how did you become the woman you are today? I know in essence, in core, there's a spiritual story. So I'm interested in your spiritual story.
Oof. Oh, man. Wow. Okay. Like, how far back do I go back to birth?
wherever you feel comfortable going, you know?
Honestly, I'm not even kidding when I say do I go back to birth, because I feel like everything about me is who I just naturally am. I know we live in a world now where people focus on pretending to be somebody online that they're not really about in real life. Completely separate. Then we see a lot of people even pretend in real life to be somebody who they're not. A lot of people have to go to school to become who they want to be. A lot of people have to find mentors to become who they want to be and who they feel like they should be. But in all humbleness, in all humility, and with all gratefulness and praises to my Lord, I am exactly who He made me by nature. I'm not even trying. You know what I mean? Which is why it's funny. I used to have people tell me that I'm really funny. And I thought that was interesting because I'm not trying to be funny. There's a lot of times people who follow me on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram, but not much. But people who follow me on Facebook would tell me all the time, I get a lot of inboxes, you are so funny. And I'm like, but I'm not trying to be funny. So whatever is in me, that's who Allah made me. That's who God made me. You know, being a midwife even, all of my life I've been a writer since I was a little girl, like I said before. And I always wrote poetry. I used to love reading books, and I used to like to try to write short stories all the time. I won all of the contests in elementary and middle school for the oratorical contest and the short story contest and the essay contest. Just whatever contest it was on writing, I won all of them. I always won them. And so being a writer was the thing that I knew that I was going to do when I grew up. I knew that I was going to be a journalist. I was going to write all these amazing articles. And by the time I got in high school, my focus was, oh, it's my people who are messed up. I was so mature for a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old girl. Back then, you know, it was everybody was kind of smoking weed, cutting school a lot. I cut school. But I cut school because I just didn't like being in school all the time. It's kind of boring. I didn't cut school because I had something really to do. Like, really, me and my girlfriend would sit on the L. If you're from Philly, you know we got the L. And you sit on the, you ride the L from one end of the city all the way down to the other end. And that's it. You just get on it, you ride it, you do that a couple times. And before you know it, school's out. I didn't have anything to do. I wasn't going to go smoke weed or hang out with the guys or hang out with the girls. I just didn't want to be there. It wasn't challenging enough for me mentally in the school. And what I knew then was that I was around so many different people my age who didn't understand. They were swindling us, that they were, like, tricking us. Like, this is not real education. Like, they're not teaching us anything. And I remember having a history teacher who was a white male history teacher who gave us maybe it's like 3 or 4 options of the movies that we were going to watch next for our essay that we had to write, okay? And one was Roots. Another one of the films were Schindler's List. And we narrowed it down movie by movie, and the last two were Schindler's List and Roots, okay? And so he asked us. He actually asked us which movie did we want to see. And this is a room full of black students. We all said Roots. Our white Jewish history teacher said to us, really, guys? But everybody's seen that. You don't want to see that. We're going to watch Schindler's List. And so while he pretended like he gave us an option, he really didn't. He always was going to have us watch Schindler's List. It was all a facade. And back in high school, I just, with a dire passion, I was like, for one, everybody didn't see Roots, you know. For two, why shouldn't we be able to watch that? Is it going to make him so uncomfortable that he can't deal with the fact that he's going to be in the room with all these black students, knowing that he sees a part of the history that we still feel the effects of today? You know, so just even then, back in high school, some of the girls and the guys, I used to always do spoken word for the talent shows and between classes and stuff like that. I always did poetry. And so they used to call me Junior Farrakhan. I always had something to say. They did. It's so funny. I always had something to say. Somebody was smoking weed, smoking cigarettes. I'm like, that's bad for you, messing up your body. I just always had something to say. But it was a passion of mine right then and there. I remember some of the guys in high school, we used to sell drugs, right? But we sitting in science class and in math class, and they struggling, and I couldn't understand it. I'm like, because you're so intelligent that you can break down the ounce to the quarter of an ounce to the eighth of the ounce. Like, you know math. You right. Have to count the money. I've never seen a person count money faster than A, a banker, B, a street guy, okay, a drug dealer. Drug dealers count money faster than I can ever imagine in my life. Like, you got to see one count money to count money really fast. And so I'm like, no, you can count. You should master science in math, you know. And I was just always the person understanding how intelligent, how super intelligent these young men were. I'm like, no, just something is missing. It's just a piece missing to the puzzle. That's the only reason why they're on the street. They're not on the street because they want to. They're on the street because either they think they have to be or because they really do have to be. Mom, somebody not around, not taking care of them, so they really do have to be. Because who else is going to supply them with food, you know? So it was my understanding even then in high school that there was something going on and that my people was lost and there's not enough people speaking up for us. And I've always been under the mindset of you either are a part of the problem or a part of the solution. And if you're a person that you just complain and you just worry and you just point fingers, then you are absolutely a part of the problem. There's no solution unless you are in the midst of doing the things that's going to make us become better, that's going to help save us as a people. So if you're not doing that, then you ain't doing nothing at all, and then you are a problem, you know. And, you know, I am a firm believer that we need to do one or two things with people who are the problem, whether they're our color or not. That's either one, we properly educate them until they become a part of the solution, or B, get rid of them, exterminate. What are you going to do? You know, there is no time, there is no space in a bowl for the rotten apples. Throw the rotten apples in the trash, or they're just going to make the other apples rotten. So, you know, just way back in middle school, high school, I've always seen something that my average peer did not see. And my whole view of the world ever since I was a little girl has been almost like, Remember that part in the movie The Matrix? I don't know if you ever seen the movie The Matrix.
Of course I did.
All the way at the end where Neo starts to realize that he's the one. And now he sees everything in ones and zeros. He sees the entire binary code in front of his face. I swear, I feel like that. I feel like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Like ones and zeros, zeros and ones. Like I see it. And everybody else can see it. You know, so I kind of always had that life where I see stuff and I'm like, why don't people see what I see? This stuff is happening right in front of our face. And so I was called a conspiracy theorist and all kinds of things coming up. And now that we have YouTube, you know, just everybody, just YouTube is the word. If you say go search blah, 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 people go on YouTube and find it.
Right.
You know, whereas back in middle school and high school for me, you know, nobody's going on YouTube to go find this information. But now everybody knows about all of these different conspiracies and things that's going on in the world because of YouTube and because of the internet. But we've been talking about all these crazy conspiracies and the vaccinations and the mind control and the weather control and the RFID chip. We've been talking about that for decades and decades and decades. And the fact that the music industry is just pure hell, all of this stuff, we've been talking about forever, you know? And so it's just something that's in me, it's like in my code, I don't know. It's the craziest thing that I'm a person where I never like taking medication, never, 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 never. If I take medication for something, it's because I am absolutely in the worst pain and I'm like, okay, I need something right now. It has to be like emergency, but I never take medicine. And all of my young life, my grandmother would give me Pepto Bismol for a stomach ache. She would try to give me Motrin or aspirin for any type of headache. And it got to the point where I hated telling her that I was in pain. I would just start sleeping it off, drink some hot tea and sleep it off. And I was like 9 or 10. But she would take me to the ER if I said I had a headache. She would say, young people have no business having headaches. You got to go to the ER. So she would take me to the hospital and give me drugs. And it's so crazy. I'm so completely the opposite of that person. So that's why I say I'm telling you exactly who I am is exactly how God made me, because I don't even have a reason. I can't even say I grew up around this stuff. No.
Right.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I have no idea. You know, being a Muslim and everything. My grandmother, my mother, my father were Muslim when I was born, and my father died when I was about 5. And my mother stopped practicing for some time. And my grandmother ended up raising me. She got me and got me baptized. And she had me going to church and sent me to Sunday school and things like that for a while, for quite a few years in my childhood. But when I was about 11, I think, something in my mind clicked that, okay, my last name is Muhammad by birth. And so something in my mind clicked to say, my last name is Muhammad, and my mother and my father were Muslim when I was born. All I knew is that I remember seeing the baby pictures of them. And I'm like, I'm Muslim. I'm not supposed to be here. And I remember being in church. I'm not even kidding. This is crazy. I had to be like maybe 8 or 9 years old. I don't even think I was 11 yet. I was like 8 or 9 years old. I was younger than that. Maybe I was 10 or 11. I don't know. But I was pretty young, and I was in church. They were doing a breakfast, and they were serving bacon. And the lady asked me if I wanted any bacon in my plate, and I told her no, I couldn't eat that because it's pork, and I'm Muslim and we don't eat pork. And I was straight up in my little Sunday school dress. I'm not kidding. Like, I don't even – and I remember that so vividly because I can't remember what made me say that out of my mouth. And I'm standing – you know what I mean? I was such a young girl.
Right.
But there's just always been something in me to make sure that, you know, I went in, on a certain path in my life. And that, that can't be nothing but Allah. That can't be nothing but God, the Creator, because only – for you to stay on a particular path, on a particular mission like that in your life, no matter what comes at you, and I've had a lot of curveballs thrown at me in my life, but no matter what, I'm just always on that one path. It's always about me being a Muslim woman. It's always about me saving my people, and then there's no deviation from that for me. And I think that's amazing. I'm so grateful for that. It's so amazing to be able to – I mean, a lot of people don't have that opportunity. A lot of the people aren't blessed that way, to be able to stay on one path their entire life and just know where they're going. Some people, to this, right now in this moment, don't know where they're going in their life. You know?
That's right.
So that's a little snippet in my world, of my world, who I am. There's a lot of talking I just did.
And you say, oh, I don't have nothing to say. Oh, now that you know, I might be a little nervous. I don't know. I told you I prepared 50 questions and you'll get through 5. You only got through 1 so far. You understand what I'm saying? So,
okay.
You know, I'm thankful that you are able to share. You see what I'm saying? I remember being in church. You know, my uncles, they were pastors. You know, but it wasn't a church like you would know. You know, it's been in my family for around 60 years or so or more. So it was my family's church. So we would just go, you know, to their church. But, you know, I was born Muslim. You see what I'm saying? Just like yourself. So I would be, you know, in the church with my Quran. You understand what I'm saying? And it'd be like,
yep.
You know, let us pray. I'd be like, stop. I'm up in the church, a little youngster. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, as you get older, you understand that the clarity and the universality of God consciousness. You see what I'm saying? Because they wasn't praying to Jesus either. You see what I'm saying? We just had to have a conversation, and they made things clear. You see what I'm saying? You know, because I was like, I'm like, they don't eat pork. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, they were vegetarian forever. You see what I'm saying? You know, so it was a different type of vibe. So you don't know until you ask questions. And, you know, me and one of my uncles, we had it out almost, you know. I really like had it out because he's still my uncle. You understand what I'm saying? He had them powers, you know. To lay you out if you was acting crazy. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, we had a conversation about God. And that day, he knew who I was, and I knew exactly who he was. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, it was something that, you know, I carried, you know, with me in that part of, you know, that development. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, your passion and your zeal for your people, we got similar kindred paths along the way. You see what I'm saying? Mine was a little bit more rebellious than yours. You know what I'm saying? but it, you know, it was the path nonetheless. You see, so I thank you for, you know, sharing in, a part of your story in regards to your spiritual growth, because a lot of times people just see the equal sign and they don't even get a chance to look at the equation, you know. And had I asked you, you probably wouldn't even, you know, be like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I just grew up this way and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But it caused you to look back and, you know, right, walk through particular periods in time. And I think that is so important for our families. You know, as I said on your show, my mother told us the stories of our birth, you know, the stories of our birth, you know, the conditions. And, you know, I shared with you, you know, some of my first year life experience. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not something that I often share, but in some cases I do share in the situation to shed light on a particular topic. You see what I'm saying? So I wanted to segue into, you know, your doula / midwife journey. How did you get started? And, you know, if you could share, you know, some of the stories, or maybe you got, you know, some children named Aisha out there, or, you know, you're the godmother to, like, you know, 800 children or something like that. I just wanted to hear, you know, some of the, you know, some of your story, how you got started, some of your experiences.
Okay. Okay. So as far as becoming a midwife, I actually started off being as a doula first. I didn't even know I was being a doula. I was 15 in high school when I had my first daughter, and I knew that I was going to have this baby natural. And then I went to a childbirth education class, and it was a black instructor. And she talked about all the different labor and birthing positions and all the different things that are good for your health. And she didn't really talk about herbs much. Maybe she might have mentioned red raspberry leaf. But she talked about natural birthing positions. And she talked about birthing naturally and breastfeeding. And that was it. That's what I was doing. There was no – I've never been an iffy person. So once I make my mind up, that's it. And so I made my mind up. I'm giving birth naturally, and I'm going to breastfeed this baby. And I did that. I did just that. I had her naturally, no drugs, no nothing. Went in the hospital at the very, very last minute. I went there, 8 centimeters, pushed the baby out, had a baby. I breastfed her, and by the time I went back to school after my postpartum weeks were over, I was pumping breast milk. And I remember asking the coordinator if she could hold my milk, the breast milk, in her refrigerator in her office, in which she agreed, and I was really happy for that, because it was something that was really important to me, you know. Even though I was 15, it was important to me to breastfeed my baby. And so I brought my breast pump to school and pumped my breast and my breast milk and brought my milk home to my baby every day. And so right then in that year, we also had to do an essay for health class. And it could be any topic that we wanted. Any topic just had to be this essay on a health topic. And, of course, I chose pregnancy and birth. And when I did that essay, because I had to research and get all these extra details, I was like, this is really fascinating. And not to mention the fact that now I'm a young mother, so I'm living it and I'm researching. And the information, I'm just like, wow, I was in awe about how the female body works, about how everything goes in it. I mean, my mother and my grandmother just did not tell me all these things about how the body works. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The little teeny one. So, you know...
She said, somebody going to hear me. You know, yeah. Somebody going to hear me.
Said,
I'm here.
She said, I want to be on the air also.
That's right.
So, you know, just getting that information about pregnancy and female anatomy was really awesome. It really inspired me to, between that and my experience, really inspired me to start going to the hospital A lot of my peers were getting pregnant, and that was the thing back in the 90s, unfortunately. But teen pregnancy was at an all-time high in the late 90s, early 2000s. So I found myself going to births with a lot of my peers, telling everybody to breastfeed and telling them it's easy, you can do it. And I actually had quite a few girlfriends actually breastfeed. And so it was so cool to watch other people go give birth naturally and breastfeed where they thought that they couldn't, because nobody was telling us to have these babies naturally. I mean, we were 15, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. That was the age range. And some even 13. You had some even 13. And we were young women having babies and not knowing much about our bodies, because nobody was really telling us much about our bodies. And definitely not being educated in how important it is to be aware of yourself and be present during a birth, and how to give birth naturally and how to cope with the contractions. Nobody was telling us that. They were like, you better get yourself an epidural and let them knock you out, because that baby will crush you wide open, or you better get an abortion, or you better give it up for adoption. And that was what we were being told. There was a lot of negativity around us giving birth. So to be able to encourage my peers to give birth naturally and to breastfeed and squash and do it, it felt great. It felt awesome. It felt wonderful. And it was almost like, for me, it was like, see, I knew we could all do this. You know, forget what everybody else says. And it was kind of like the equivalent of when I was in my senior year of high school, I got married. And I was 17, and I remember telling some of the teachers and some of the NTAs who I knew, well, I was like, you know, I got married this weekend. And people were like, married? You know, what do you know about marriage? What do you know about love? What do you know about? And instead of adults educating the 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds about anything that had to do with, quote, adult life, they would just ask you the question, well, what do you know about blah, blah, blah? You know, and I just didn't like that. So what ended up happening was, as I came out of high school, as I graduated that year, I continued to go to births with other women. And then I bumped into some people who told me, oh, you're a doula. And I was like, a what?
A this
doula,
is a thing?
That's what you do.
Okay.
Like, you go to the, yeah, they like, you know, you go to the hospital, women, you help them with their labor and birth and breastfeeding. And I was like, okay. You know, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's a Greek word, and it means slave girl, and, you know, and instantly, you know, I just noticed that it's like, all white girls say that, though. And to this day, I still haven't figured out another term that I want to use instead of doula, but that's the mainstream term now. So now it would be hard to find another name, because people know the term doula. However, I continued to do that, go to the births and go to the hospitals, and then I started seeing a little pattern that no matter how much I would educate some of these women, and now we're adults at this point, so it's different. What I learned is the mind of an adult is so hard to change compared to the mind of a teenage, your teenage girl or young female.
Right.
The mind of a 25, 30, 35-year-old woman is not the same. She's set in her ways. She's convinced of whatever, whatever. You really have to pull some teeth to convince her of some other things. And then even in the situation where you don't have to convince her, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do blah, blah, she's interchangeable very easily. You can sway her. So what will happen is some of these women would say, yeah, I'm going to have this baby natural, and they would hire me and pay me to be their doula. We would go over all this information. Then they would go to the hospital. And the moment the nurses came in and said, well, we can offer you something for pain relief, she would go, okay, yeah, let me get it. And I would be like, well, that's not what we talked about at your, you know, your visit. You know, you sure? I have other options for you. They didn't care. They're like, give me the drugs, you know. And then a moment the doctor would say, well, we believe you're going through failure to progress, and, you know, we should just go ahead and do a C-section. You know, you and baby are healthy, but before there's any issues, let's just go ahead and do a C-section. And they would go, okay, let's do it. And I'll be like, huh? Right. Because I put in time. I will put in so much time with all of these moms during their prenatal appointment, that there was never a reason that I should have witnessed so many moms say okay to either the epidural or okay to the C-section. I even had one mom who I was so grateful because she didn't know, and because I had already experienced birth, I knew that she was very close to giving birth, and that's why the contractions were getting very, very intense. She didn't realize that, and so she was asking the nurse and the doctors to give her the epidural, and I told her, no, I don't think you need that now. You're fine. You know, the baby's going to be here soon. Just ask him to check your dilation. Ask him to check you. And then she wasn't going to ask him. She just wanted the pain relief. But when they came in, they insisted on checking her anyway. And because they insisted on checking her, now they're like, $10,000. And so the good thing was, she didn't get the epidural. There was no time. She was, you know what I mean? And just being so in tune with her, I was really grateful to be able to be there at her side to help her, because I understood that if she had gotten the epidural, it may have slowed everything down for her. And she may have ended up getting a C-section. You know, there's some hospitals here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Hospital for one, which so many women go to. However, this is one of the first hospitals in the entire country to do elective cesarean sections, meaning that you can just be pregnant, walk into that hospital and say, I want to schedule a C-section for my due date, and they will say, okay, you don't need a medical reason at all. They will just give you one. And so we live in a world where that's becoming the norm amongst so many of the hospitals, especially the university hospitals, the teaching hospitals, and the hospitals that are in the city. So I started seeing a rise in how many women were just getting butchered up C-sections. Epidurals, getting episiotomies. Episiotomy is when they cut the skin between the vaginal opening and the anus. They cut just a small part of it, the skin called the perineum. They cut a small part of it. And just all of these different things, it was like butchering, you know?
Right.
I just got tired of seeing it. And again, I've always been a person to be like, you're either a part of the problem or the solution. And I didn't see how I could be a part of the solution while I sat there and watched them go through that. I just figured something's got to give. So maybe I somehow need to be more in control of what happens to the mom during her birth. And not in control in a way where I'm controlling her, but in a controlled environment where I can control the negative options that are placed in front of her face. And I felt like if I could do that, then I could save more of these women, and I could help more of their babies, and I can help more of their families. I can help her recovery time be faster. I could help her breastfeeding perhaps be easier. You know what I mean? I could perhaps help her mate be able to deal with her and the baby a little easier, because bonding had begun from the start. So with all of that in my mind, I figured then I have to be a midwife, and I have to catch these babies in these women's houses. They have to do this at home, because that's what we used to do anyway. And why can't I do it? And it was kind of a no-brainer for me. I ended up doing some courses and training with a few midwives, doing some workshops and things like that. And I ran into, and I was looking for women who wanted home birth so I could start really practicing as a midwife. And my very first client, I don't even remember who told her. Another sister who knew that I was a midwife told her, and she said she met me in person kind of almost accidentally, because we weren't planning to be at the same place at the same time. We just met each other at an event. And she said, yeah, I heard you were the midwife. And she says, you know, listen, I'm pregnant. I had my first baby in the hospital. This one is not going to be at the hospital. This one's going to be at home. My mom had all her babies at home. And that's what I'm doing with this one. Are you going to be there or not? And that was how I became her midwife. And then after her, it was her cousin, and then word of mouth traveled, and they told so many sisters, and then so many people started hearing about me. And it really just took off. It just took off, and before I knew it, I was just catching babies everywhere. And it has been an awesome, oh my goodness, such a rewarding, warm feeling to be able to be present at a time where it's not just the baby that's born, it's the mother that's born, it's the father that's born, it's the family that's born. You know what I mean? And even if it's the second, third, or fifth, or tenth baby, everybody is like born again every single time, because what happens is when a woman gives birth, a new thing happens to her. Something else happens to her mind, her body, her soul, her spirit. Something else happens to a woman every time she gives birth. And to be present during that time is powerful beyond imagination. And how much they strip us of that moment when we're in the hospital facilities is just horrible. That bonding time, that time where that woman becomes another type of woman, that mother becomes another type of mother, that father becomes another type of father, and that family becomes another type of family, that moment is so sacred. And for us to be in a position where people don't allow us to have that time the way we need that time is despicable. And so I can't do anything else but to continue to be a midwife and continue to catch babies and continue to save these women and these men and these families, these babies, in any capacity that I can, because other than that, that makes me just a problem. And I can't see myself as being a problem. I can't allow it. There's nothing in me that's going to allow me to do anything other than find solutions and help my people.
That's what I'm talking about. I hear that. That's question number two right here, okay? Question number two.
Okay.
Oh, man. So rich. So many experiences. So how many of them people named the children after you? How many God children you got? About a million?
I don't know. Maybe... something over 100.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's so much love. It's so much. You know, one of the most amazing feelings of it all is that I get to watch, especially with Facebook and all this stuff going on. I actually only got a Facebook account years ago because one of my clients had a Facebook account. I didn't even know what Facebook was. I thought it was like a photo bucket thing to see the pictures. I didn't even know it was a Facebook. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was a social media thing at all. And I just knew I had to sign up, put my email address in there, and I wanted to see one of my clients' babies, the baby pictures. And that's how I ended up getting a Facebook account. And so watching all of the babies grow up, and then I bump into the mom. Sometimes I call them my baby mamas. And I bump into all these different sisters and through the time, and I get to watch these little people grow up like they're my children. I mean, really watch them grow up. Like, I'm seeing some of them, they play the drum. This one, you know, is in dance class all the time. This one's reading and writing now, and this one's going to the potty now, and all the different stages of development for children. I'm watching these children as if they're my own. That's amazing.
Awesome.
That, I mean, you can't replace that with anything else. That is amazing. And when I meet so many, when I see so many women, they introduce me to their friends and family and things like that. They always go, "Oh, that's my midwife." And I'm like, it's so funny because I'm like, I caught your baby like 8 years ago. Like 2 years ago, like 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you know. But they always introduce me that way, you know, and that makes me feel good because it makes me feel like there's a connection that we made. You know, there's a love that exists between us that can't be broken. And I'm so honored. I'm so honored that they have chosen me to be a part of that sacred moment and that sacred time in their life. And I'm so honored that they continue to insert me in their lives. You know, I'm still in touch with, let's say, about maybe a good 85-87% of my clients. And the ones I'm not in touch with is probably just because they moved and phone numbers changed. We lost touch. But I'm in touch with most of my clients through the years. It's amazing to me watching everybody grow. even the moms, watching them grow into different women from what they were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. It's amazing.
All right. Now, I got to sneak one in and see if I can get away with this one right here.
Okay.
You told us about all of this amazing writing and this, you know, Muslim poetess skill that you possess. I'm like a spoken word junkie, you know what I mean? So do you got something that you could share with us, perhaps?
Oh.
a little sample. I'm over here scratching my neck like, can I get something? Just a little sample.
Oh,
we're gonna wait. Or can we wait to the end? If we wait to the end, you know, inshallah, maybe you done worked up the nerve. You know what I mean? You give us a little sample of the greatness.
I think I have to actually find something.
That's fine.
Find something that I'm willing to share. Yeah, I'm always writing, so there's always something. I have a lot of new things that I've written, so there's always something going on. that is definitely
well,
a good.
Before we go there, then, can you tell us about the inception of this conference that you put together? You know, some of the details, some of the storyline, and, you know, definitely want to promote and get that word out to as many of our sisters as possible. You know, if you could share some of those experiences while putting on such a, you know, large event, things of that nature, just, you know.
Definitely. So it is called the Body Conference. And, I am actually, I'm pulling up some of the information so that I don't shoot from the hip because I have something going on at one time. So it's the fourth annual Natural Birth, Natural Body Conference, and this year's theme is the release, the rebirth, the revolution. It's going to be held on May 17th through the 19th this year, inshallah, willing, at Imhotep Institute Charter High School, which is at 6201 North. It's an all-women's conference. Okay, it's an all-women's conference and focused on educating our women. It's geared towards Black women and Muslim women. The reason why the conference is geared towards Black women and Muslim women is because that's who needs this information. That's who does not get a chance to get this information firsthand most of the time. And I don't like it, so I decided to do the conference some years ago. I have realized that there is a huge to the women, to our women, the Black women, Black Muslim women, and the white women are getting the information, the Latina women are getting the information, the information as much now. You know, years later, we're getting information more and more, but I'm going to continue to do this conference. I've never seen a conference of its time done where it's geared towards conferences geared towards Muslim women, regardless of their ethnicity, race, or background. Or there's conferences geared towards just Black women. But for it to be Muslim sensitive and for it to be about Black women, I've never seen both. I've never seen people focus on both. And that's been an issue for me because I'm a Black Muslim woman, and when I go to these different events and conferences, and I guess I have not been able to sit in workshops and things that identify with me completely who I am. And I never liked that. I didn't like how I had to always be slightly uncomfortable with my skin. And so my idea was to create something so that women like me could be comfortable in their skin. And we have all kinds of women who attend this conference, don't get me wrong. But that's what it's geared towards. It's geared to make sure that Black Muslim women and Black women can be comfortable when they attend this conference. Some of the things that we have workshops on natural health, natural foods, financial stability, Black women and beauty image. We'll have African dance workshops, belly dance workshops, workshops on pregnancy and birth, C-sections, being a mother of premature babies. We'll have workshops on family building, stress relief, herbs and homeopathy, natural cures. And then, of course, we have our halal food vendors, which are completely 100% halal, Zabiha halal, and our vegan food vendors, so that we can make sure we offer food to everyone who attends the conference. So the idea was to make sure that our sisters who come who are vegetarian and vegan, they have something to eat, just like the women who eat meat, they can have halal to eat. We have all the shopping in our Sekone marketplace for our Black female vendors. We do not have any males in this conference. It's only for women, even the vendors. So all of our vendors, the idea is so that you support Black-owned businesses. So that's why all of our vendors in this conference are Black women. We are going to support each other and learn how to continuously build and develop sisterhood amongst one another. That's important. The ideology of unity and connecting in that way is important, but it's essential. It's the key, because for us women to be the ones, we are the mothers of the children. We are the ones who run the household in most cases. We have to connect better. We have to bond. We have to create sisterhood between us. The idea that we are supporting each other's businesses, there's no animosity at this conference. I've never had a year where I've heard sisters, the sisters, and I'm just saying Black women, sisters, haven't had any issues with each other. Everybody, it's all love. I hear so much excellent feedback, and I love that. So you get a chance to come and you spend your dollar amongst each other. We bond, we have fun, we laugh, we goof off. We dance, we walk around in slippers sometimes. Sometimes, we just kicking it in the hallway in between the workshop sessions. And we share food and we build. So I encourage all of the women to check out the website, save the date for the 4th annual Natural Birth, Natural Body Conference. Again, that's May 17th through the 19th. And the website is www.nbnbconference.com. And it's NBNB, like natural birth, natural body. So you can check it out anytime. We are looking for more vendors. And if you're interested in doing a workshop and being a presenter, we'd love for you to volunteer your time.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to repeat that again at the end of the broadcast, you know what I'm saying, so make sure we get that out there one more time. So now what about your services? Can we get to, some of the business services that you provide, for our families?
Okay, so.
I know we heard the story. We heard the call to action, the call to arms, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? So can we get to some services here?
Yes. So as a midwife, I provide prenatal care throughout the duration of the pregnancy. Of course, assisting at the home for the home birth. I have an assistant also. Services include plenty of information, handouts, birth videos. Of course, we take care of the mom and the baby properly and make sure mom and baby's development is going well throughout the pregnancy, taking care of her during birth, the labor and the birth, and for postpartum, as well as making sure that the dad is okay as well. And so we provide those services for a fee. What happens is women who are interested, that number is 856-514-1418, 856-514-1418. Or they can go to my website, www.AishaTheMidwife.com. You can Google me, Aisha the Midwife, and you'll find me. Anytime, what we do is we set up a consultation so that someone is interested in a service. They do a consultation about everything that the services include. They get an opportunity to ask their questions, find out the what ifs, how we deal with burden, find out what about my background setting, what I will do, what I will not do during an emergency, or if things are just occurring naturally, find out if we make a connection, if we make a great team as midwife and client. So I always encourage the moms to just give me a call or go to the website, AishaTheMidwife.com, and then set up a consultation, and we take it from there. That's even for the doula services and the childbirth education classes as well. I also own a driving company. I didn't mention that earlier. Called Aisha's Care Professional Driving Company, and where I employ our people to drive for the contracted businesses that I have, and they can get a chance to earn a nice part-time pay for a nice little part-time job where they can still do other things in between. A lot of people still do Uber and Lyft, and a lot of people, maybe they have a home-based business that they run in addition to that, but it definitely provides a nice little income so that people can have a cushion, because in this day and age, we all need a little cushion. So I'm always open to more contracts for that business as well. Right now, we're not doing individual contracts or families. It has to be an actual business or corporation or organization for those contracts. And that number is just 585-514-1418.
Can you repeat that number one more time, sis?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. It's 856-514-1418.
Okay, thank you. Because it kind of sounded like the connection broke up on my end. So, you know, and I need the folks to know the number to call. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Did you get it? Should I say it one more time?
We got it. We got it. So, It was, I didn't want to break up what you were saying because I wanted to, I'm getting my notes over here. You see what I'm saying about all of these, you know, services you provide our people.
Excellent. And so also, while I'm at it, if I have an opportunity to mention my businesses, let me mention one more, is that I also offer a weight loss or medical shape. So it's the same number. Contact me. We'll replace the shakes and coffee and tea. They can also contact me. Same phone number, 856-514-1418, for any of those products. Or if they're just interested.
All right. First, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're juggling a lot of things, you know, and a lot of people. You understand what I'm saying? So thank you for being patient and kind and sharing
so much information with our listening audience. And inshallah, some of the families will get in contact with you via, you know, our listening audience to, you know, get some consultations, get some education, you know, and, you know, hopefully, you know, Philly, Jersey, New York, Delaware, you know, VA, wherever you at, you know, they come up, you know, the sisters come up in droves for this, you know, fourth annual conference that you're putting on. So I wanted to give you an opportunity for any closing remarks, any acknowledgments, also, you know, again, anything else you have coming up, how people can contact you one more time. So, you know, it gets grouped to the family. So, you know, you have the floor.
Okay, well, first I wanted to say, if you still wanted me to, I did find something, one of my writings I could...
I was trying to say that for the last thing, you know. But if you got it right now, hey, I'm ready.
You know. Say it one more time.
I said I was going to say that for the last. You know what I'm saying? I was going to try to slide it in real quick. but no, if you have it right now, I'm
thinking. Okay. So meanwhile, for now. So again, yeah. We had the Solutions Live show that airs on www.aichamidwife.com/solutions. And that airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. We have aichathemidwife.com for all of your prenatal, women's care, herbal services, all of that great stuff. Childbirth education classes, home birth, doula services, and you can contact me. The easiest thing is to go on my website, aishathemidwife.com. aishathemidwife.com, aishathemidwife, aishathemidwife.com, or call 856-514-1418. And so that's kind of right now the number for everything. If you have a business or organization and you need some consistent transportation for your clients, your patients, or whoever, they're in contact with the same number for Aisha's Care Driving Professional Driving Company, 856-514-1418. And, of course, there is the Natural Birth, Natural Body Conference that's going to be held May 17th through May 19th, which is a Friday through Sunday. Friday night to be the film festival, with Saturday and Sunday filled with workshops, shopping, lots of laughs, eating, and fun. And that, you can find more information on the Natural Birth, Natural Body Conference at www.nbnbconference.com conference.com. That's nbnbconference.com. If you're interested in vending, we need you black-owned businesses, female black-owned business owners to give us a call or an email. You'll see the email thing right on the website. The email is nbnbconference@gmail.com. But you can also go right to the website, nbnbconference.com, and email us, and we will send you out a vending form. Everyone else, save that date, May 17th through the 19th, 2019. The Natural Birth Natural Body Conference. Be there.
All right. Thank you one more time. Shout out to our sister, Aisha Muhammad. We're going to leave us with a poem before we go, so we can have that positive vibe or whatever vibe this piece puts you in for the rest of the day.
This is one I call Reflections, and I actually have never read it out loud for anyone ever yet. And so I'm rusty. last year, so I'm a little rusty, so bear with me. Reflections. Sight untold, vision unseen. The reflections of my past gained from a note borrowed from my future. What images play instantly and fast forwarding, winding through time warps of an oracle of proof. But reflective lights won't let them see me. I am invisible. Could be invincible, should be winding, winded, and feeling high, reflecting what was said, what was done, what ended, drove, stole, murdered, the old, the images, replay, repeat, find. Sometimes they stalk my future thoughts and hijack my dreams and make my emotions bleed. And so I breathe. I exhale the sceneries of sights untold, reflections unmatched, unnoted, not yet written. The page of that story haven't even been binded. It makes perfect sense of what I see, not what it is, but what will be in a solar return, or three. And my heart, carrying black holes, in exchanging time like there is one I see. For be seen, I am still a mirror, a light, a tone, a shape, a reflection lost but true and found of an image of me. Reflection.
Am I supposed to snap or clap? Which one? Let me.
Whichever. And it's written by Raw, which is my stage name, Raw, R-A-W, meaning Revolutionary African Warrior.
Give it up for Raw, y'all. Let me get my love jumps off. Give it up for Raw, y'all. Sister Aisha, thank you again. Thank you again. And you got through four questions. You understand what I'm saying? So hopefully, you know, we can have you back on and, you know, some of, you know, the fans to give some reflections on the conference or closer to the conference if you want to do a promotional show with, you know, some of the people that will be vending or whatever you want to work it. You know, I just want to, you know, offer that olive branch to help with the promotion and, you know, maybe some people who can't afford to get there, we could work something out to, you know, sponsor, you know, a couple of sisters to get there. So, you know, just get, you know, stay in contact and, you know, help with this promotion because I think this awareness needs to be known. And, you know, get some other folks involved, inshallah. So,
awesome.
Thank
inshallah.
You.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hopefully you come back, you know what I'm saying? Up here.
Absolutely.
All right. Oh, did you shout your show?
Hello? I can't hear you.
Did you shout out your show, the broadcast?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure, you know, cover all the bases, you know, before we go. So we got to get up out of here. Thank you for your time, sis. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're welcome. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, family, we're about to get up out of here. Salute to my sister and warrior comrade, Sister Aisha Muhammad. If you like we heard, subscribe to the show, www.blogtalkradio.com/DoNotsRadio. That's DoTHAKNOWLDGERADIO. Yeah.
Because you never know what life is going to take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now looking at 30 and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today.
I was always too concerned about what everybody would think. But I can't live for everybody. I gotta live my life for me, yeah. I reached the fork in the road of my life. Ain't nothing gonna happen unless I decide. That I can be,
I choose
to be authentic in everything
I do.
My past don't dictate who I am.
I choose, yeah.
I'd have been through some painful things I thought that I would never make it through. Filled up with shame from the top of my head to the soles of my shoes. I put myself in so many chaotic circumstances. By the grace of God, I've been given so many second chances. But today I decided to let it all go. I'm driving these bags, I'm making room for my joy.
I choose
to be the best that I can be.
I choose
to be authentic in
you.